that is a nation that truly has no clue. They don't know what they're doing.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. You know, to begin with, I just want to thank everyone that sent me well wishes, that sent me good thoughts, prayers. The overwhelming support has been amazing, and I thank every one of my listeners for all the support you have given me. It has been, like I say, overwhelming. To answer everybody's question, it is getting better, I guess, every day. You know, there's days where I struggle. I went back to work this week, and the doctor put me on half days, and before I went in, I'm like, I can work more than a half day, and no, I can't. I'm just burned out. I have no energy. This is something I thought, you know, I'm over 2 weeks out of the hospital now, and I thought I'd be back to normal, and when I left, they said, it's going to be a while. You probably have some lung damage. You may have some heart damage from the pneumonia, and I didn't think anything of it. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm struggling. I have no energy. I can't get up and do much before I get out of breath. You know, you can hear me kind of catching my breath now. So, but thank you. Couple things, you know, Harvey got been constant contact with me. Thank you, Harvey. Appreciate it. Sean Ryan, again, awesome. Not only is he wishing me well, but he's also, well, he's sending me some great info on stuff to talk about on the show, but he is part of a new movement in Wisconsin that I'm going to talk about on the show because it has to do with COVID. And there was an email that I received from, I believe it was a young lady. I wanted to mention it and go over it on the show, but apparently I accidentally deleted it out of my inbox and trash. So I don't even remember the young lady's name. I do apologize, but you sent me the email, and thank you. You know, if you sent me an email and I didn't talk about it, that's probably you. So thank you. But, you know, there's one thing that Sean Ryan, he commented on my Paranormal Patriot Facebook page on the post of the last show that really struck home, that really, you know, a lot of people ask, hey, do you make money doing this? And I'm like, no, I don't. It's just a labor of love. And people are like, that's a waste of time. And Sean really drove it home. You know, this is what Sean commented on my Facebook post, and this is why I do this. It says, sound like you went through hell, but don't let this experience change your views. You survived this COVID thing. You are part of the 99% survival rate of COVID. We need you in the fight to stop masks and to stop them from stealing our freedoms. We need your voice to stop them from taking over our country. I know you know what's right. Our kids depend on us to make sure they are better off than us, which we are losing, and we need to fight for freedom. I wish you good health, but now is the time to take America back from the people that want to destroy it. Take care, man. And that is essentially why I do this. I have a very loyal audience. I don't have the biggest audience. I will admit that right up front. I have a very loyal and a very strong-willed audience. And to hear that you guys are looking to me as a voice, and trust me, it's not just Sean that said it. It's a lot of comments over the years that we need your voice. We love your voice. Continue doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. That's why I do it. Would the money be nice? Yeah. I mean, this equipment costs money, but it's the fact that I'm changing things. You know, I've had probably 50, and that might not sound like a lot, but, you know, probably at least 50 people email me over the years and say, hey, you know, I was listening to your show. I got to admit, you're right. And that's big, because I change 50. How many have you guys changed by what you tell them? It's a slow process. And don't let the news media tell you that we're losing. We are not. This country is still conservative. The problem is you don't hear about it. All you hear about are the Democrats that are in control, how they cheated the election. Well, you don't hear about how they cheated the election. If you talk about that, you're a white supremacist, Nazi racist. But this country still is conservative. They still have the values. They still want their freedom. Now, Sean Ryan, he lives in Wisconsin, and he is starting, or he's basically starting a grassroots movement to get rid of the masks in the schools. Here's the thing. As every other part of the country is opening up, here in Wisconsin, here in Michigan, we are still requiring. Here in Michigan, they just dropped the age for children that have to wear masks down to 2. 2 years old, they expect these little kids to wear masks all day. In Wisconsin, Sean is trying to get the school boards to just eliminate mask use in schools. Look, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to, don't. Sean is one of the people that are trying to take back the control that the politicians and the scientists, quote-unquote scientists, seem to have over this country. Here in Michigan, we have been locked down. We have this past week, the CDC said we no longer have to wear masks outside if you're vaccinated. Who here, by a raise of hands, remembers or knows that you had to wear a mask outside? I never wear a mask outside, ever. So why would you wear a mask outside, honestly? But here in Michigan, we're still under lockdown. We've got a mask mandate. You know, our capacity at restaurants is 25%. They close at 11 because apparently COVID only hits after 11. It's crazy. Now, she has come out and said, listen, when we hit 55%, we're going to ease. We'll ease more at 60% of the people who get vaccinated, 65, and then 70. Once 70% of the state is vaccinated, then we open it up for good, unless something else happens. So here's my issue. I've got two here. First off, again, I've said this before, I'll continue to say it. Why are we pushing? Why do we have to, I guess would be the way to put it. Why do we have to push for these vaccines? I mean, honestly, if everybody was that afraid of COVID-19, and listen, this is coming from a guy who just got out of ICU who wasn't sure if we were making it. If it's that dangerous, don't you think people would be lining up around the block? Don't you think this mask mandate, everybody would be wearing double, triple masks? Why is it? I mean, I'd love to see the budget that the governments of this country are putting. Like in Michigan, every other commercial is about a COVID vaccine, how safe it is, how we've been working on some sort of coronavirus vaccine for 10 years, and in just a couple months, we perfected it. It's not true. Look at the Johnson & Johnson blood clots. Look at the people that have died that have had serious side effects. Well, you know, if you look into how many people have had the vaccine versus the side effects, it's really negligible. But the problem is, that is just at the initial injection. What happens years down the road? What is this doing to us? We have no idea. These clinical trials, these vaccines that come out on the market, normally take years and years and years of testing to get approved. Now, the only way they can try and make to the only way they can come back to when somebody says, listen, it takes years and years and years for these vaccines to come out. You guys put this out in a couple months. No, I don't know what's in it. You guys don't know what's going to happen. The only thing they can come back with is, well, we've been working on a coronavirus vaccine for well over 10 years. You probably have. But coronavirus, this is a different strain. It's not the same thing. You know, when I was leaving the hospital, the doctor's like, make sure you get your coronavirus vaccine. And I'm like, why? Well, you don't want to get this again. Well, first off, people that have had both vaccines are getting the coronavirus. And now they're saying that the UK strain that I got, is the vaccine doesn't protect you against it. So what's the point? You know, I would like to think that my body at this point has a better chance of fighting off COVID again with just the antibodies and the T cells that are raging through my body right now than with a vaccine that nobody knows if it works, nobody knows how long it works, and nobody knows what the side effects are. But here's my other question. So here in Michigan, we have a magic number to hit now. 55, and we open up a little. 60, we open up more. Only if you get vaccinated, though. What about the thousands and thousands of people like myself and maybe you listening to the show? What about us who have got it and beat it? We are now vaccinated, per se, against it because now we have our own immune system fighting against it, which, again, in my opinion, is much better than a vaccine we know nothing about. Where are we going to include those people in those numbers? No, we aren't. Because the government is pushing you to get the vaccine. Why? Why are they pushing so hard to get this vaccine? That's the question. You know, I've heard rumors of living things, living microscopic entities in this vaccine. I've heard of microchips in this vaccine. I heard it alters your DNA. I've heard it makes women, young women, sterile. Who knows? That's the problem. Nobody knows, and nobody's telling us. You know, you go on Facebook, and you first off, if it gets past the censors, then it gets fact-checked. Well, this is only partly true. So, this is the beauty about the Facebook fact-checkers. They can come out and label it as partly true, but when you see that fact-checker thing on your post, everybody reads it is going to say, oh, it's not true. Because that's what we've been programmed to think. When a Facebook fact checker comes out, it's automatically just dissolved. Nope, not true. But if you read a little bit longer, well, this is only partly true. Well, what part of it is true? That they won't tell you. So again, who knows? Who knows what is going on? I'm not going to get the vaccine. And I know there are people on this listening to this podcast that are going to call me a hypocrite. You just got through that. You almost died. And you're going to talk bad about the COVID virus? You're going to talk bad about the vaccines? Yes. I don't believe in the vaccines. In before it was mask shaming. You know, you didn't wear a mask. You were looked down upon like a leper. Now, it's if you don't get the vaccine, you're looked down upon. Because, oh, well, you don't care. Just like the masks. And this is all part of the plan. It's divisive. It's dividing us. Because when we come together, these politicians know they can't control us anymore. When we are one, when we are unified. So they continue to come up with ways to divide us. Race, political views, mask, no mask, vaccine, no vaccine. I mean, anybody that has a brain in their head and can look through the BS can see what is going on. And that's exactly what's going on. This is a completely political attempt to control us. You know, Sean Ryan is standing up for himself, his children, and all the families in Wisconsin Rapids. We need to stand up, you know? Do I think masks work? I no, because 95% of the people aren't wearing the right mask. You know, I saw a lady in the other day come into work, literally a crocheted mask. I wear the neck gaiter thing. It's not protecting me at all. But you know what? I don't get grief because I put my neck gaiter on when I have to. It's a face covering. So let me know what you think. Am I being a hypocrite? Should I be a hypocrite? Should I conform because I've had coronavirus really bad and, you know, survived it and now I should be a staunch supporter of the vaccine? Or should I just continue what I believe, that it's not safe? We don't know if it's safe. I'm not going to put some chemicals in my body that I don't know what it's going to do to me. Let me know, because nobody seems to want to answer or can answer this question. If I have survived coronavirus, does that mean I'm vaccinated? Somebody give me the answer to that. I want to hear your thoughts. You can contact me two ways, either by email, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net, or you can call the Paranormal Patriot hotline at 989-607-4722. Again, 989-607-4722. We are going to take a quick break right now. I'm going to come back and I'm going to go over some news that we kind of missed that I want to give you my thoughts on. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. I'll be right back.
I don't usually go out this late at night to the place where the animals go. But baby, I'm here and I'm watching you move. There's just one thing you should know. Girl, you are my fire.
This is Harvey Gott, and I'm the host of Satire Is Not Dead. Join me every Wednesday for new episodes. Satire Is Not Dead is in the Cinescape Media Network. You can learn more about this program and other programs by visiting cinescape.media. Alrighty, so while I was in the hospital, a lot of things happened. We all know about the Derek Chauvin verdict and what was leading up to it. BLM was protesting, Antifa was protesting. And I just want to go real quick over what Maxine Waters said. Because, you know, Donald Trump had an impeachment trial for something that was he supposedly said that he didn't say, that they completely manipulated. And this lunatic out of California gets up and starts spewing again. You hear it on the first part of my intro of the show, how she's telling people to confront the Republicans, confront them, to make them so they're not comfortable. And then she goes out and she's being asked about the verdict. And this is before the verdict came through. And what would happen if it's not murder? What should the protesters do? And I mean, these reporters, come on, guys. You are not journalists. You are tabloid. You are like the old National Enquirer, the Sun. I mean, come on, you're just egging her on. But I want you to hear, if you haven't heard it already, I want you to hear what she had to say. So listen to this. This is Maxine Waters in a mask and a face shield. It's ridiculous. Oh, my God, it's ridiculous. This is what she had to say during an interview session outside of whoever knows where about the Chauvin upcoming verdict. Listen to this.
I am very hopeful, and I hope that we're going to get a verdict that is say guilty, guilty, guilty. And if we don't, we cannot go away.
And not just manslaughter, right? I mean.
Oh, no, not manslaughter. No, no, no.
Oh,
this
God,
is
no.
Murder. I don't know whether it's in the first degree, but as far as I'm concerned, it's first degree.
Ms. Congresswoman, murder. What happens if we do not get what you just told? What should the people do? What should protesters on the street do?
I didn't hear you.
You're
what
leading her on.
What should protesters do?
Well, we got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business.
So here's my question. How is that not insightful? How is that not inflammatory? Because Donald Trump was brought up on impeachment charges for something he said that was not even close to that. This woman, this nut job out of California, is going out and telling these protesters. And of course, she's being egged on by the reporters, but she's telling these protesters, if this is not first degree murder, then we need to go out and we need to protest more. We need to be more confrontational. I mean, how much more confrontational can she be, or can these protesters be? They're burning down police departments. They're burning down buildings. They're killing people. How much more confrontational can you be? Where is the double standard here? Because this is absolutely ridiculous. So there are calls. I mean, the GOP, they're out there saying, whoa, hold on, we need to censor this woman. But the Dems are like, no, 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 you aren't doing that. I mean, come on. You impeached a, a non-sitting president for remarks that were completely taken out of context. He did not call for violence. He actually called on his supporters to peacefully protest. This woman is going out and calling on the protesters, BLM and Antifa, to be more confrontational, to let them know we are here. And yet nothing happens. This is the problem with this country, is nothing happens to these people. These people have a free pass. If you're on the left, if you're on the right, oh God, no. You have no free pass. Every word you say is getting scrutinized. Now, Nancy Pelosi, again, has come out and said, no, we're not going to censor her. We're going to fight that. This is just the GOP's attempt to change the subject. Well, Nancy Pelosi was also, after the verdict, she was under a firestorm. Under her comment, she says, and thank God the jury validated what we saw. What we saw. So again, thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life for justice, for being there to call out your mom. How heartbreaking was that? To call out to your mom, I can't breathe. But because of you and because of thousands, millions of people around the world who came out for justice, your name will always be synonymous with justice. So apparently George Floyd, his whole point in this, tried to pass a fake check while he was high on drugs. That was just him sacrificing his life. And she got called out on it. But again, nothing happens. When are these people going to wake up? And by these people, I mean the media and just the liberals in general. How you cannot see the double standard and see that, yeah, something's not right here, is beyond me. It's just ludicrous. It's asinine. And it's, to be honest with you, frustrating beyond belief. So Maxine Waters can call on rioters to be more confrontational. Nancy Pelosi can say a stupid thing like, hey, I'm glad you sacrificed. And nothing happens. If a Republican said that, they'd be out of office. Out of office. And if you don't believe me, you got your head in the sand. So let's change gears here. Anybody done any home improvement lately? Anybody see the price of lumber lately, plywood? It's ridiculous. You know, the wife and I were going to build a pergola. I was going to build a pergola last year. And we held off, and we actually priced everything out. And we went out this spring and repriced it out. Same exact wood, same exact dimensions, same exact everything. $350 more in a year. What is going on? They're blaming it on the coronavirus. They can't blame it on supply and demand. There's plenty of supply out there, regardless of the demand. So are they artificially driving up the prices because they're using coronavirus as an excuse? Everything is going up. Everything. Now, Bloomberg News had a shocking report come out recently, and it revealed that the Agriculture Spot Index, and that is used to track the key farm products, that has reportedly surged the most in almost 9 years. And it's being driven by crop futures. And what crop futures are is that's basically placing a bet on how the future pricing of crops are going to be. Now, according to Bloomberg, with global food prices already at the highest since mid-2014, this latest jump is being closely watched because staple crops like corn, like beans, fruits, everything, soybeans, vegetable oils, other commodities, those are skyrocketing. The report goes on to say this rise in costs will produce broad repercussions from households and businesses as well as threaten a world economy trying to recover from the damage of the coronavirus pandemic. This compilation of disasters is fueling food inflation. Now, according to, oh boy, this is going to be a tough one, Abdalreza Abbasian, he's a senior economist at the United Nations Food and Agriculture Association or Organization. He said there seems to be sort of a bullish force behind the prices internationally. He says the indicators are that there's very little reason to believe prices would remain at these levels. It is more likely that they will rise further. Hardship is still ahead. He went on to say the relentless rise in prices acts as a misery multiplier, driving millions deeper into hunger and depression. Again, why? Why is there an increase in food prices? You know, I understand in the automobile industry, and somebody gave me a really, really good conspiracy theory. They said, Tom, have you noticed that there's a shortage of these chips that they need for these human interface modules? Basically, it's a radio, DVD, the nav system for all these vehicles. There's chips that they need, and they don't have them anymore. There's a shortage, so the vehicles aren't being produced. They said, is it any coincidence that shortage occurred when the coronavirus vaccine hit? Basically saying there's a microchip or some type of chips inside this vaccine. Again, just throwing it out there, not saying I believe it, but throwing it out there for your ears. But there's no food shortage. I'm sorry. You go to the store, you are finding vegetables. You're finding bread. Hell, you're even finding toilet paper. So why? What is causing this? This is all manufactured. I'm not saying that this is going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. But the general trend, and from what I'm seeing in the stores, is, yeah, prices are going up. Now, let's be honest. Again, liberals that are listening to the show, let's be honest. With Biden's trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that he wants to do, giving people free things, and the new Green Deal, it's only natural that prices are going to go up. It's called inflation. It's going to happen. You can't tax people enough for that. So prices are going to go up. Honestly, I don't know how it is in your neck of the woods, but in my neck of the woods here in Michigan, there are help wanted signs everywhere. There is no reason anyone should be unemployed in Michigan right now. None. The job market is there for the taking. But the problem is our government is giving out so much free money that it's cheaper or better off for them to sit on their ass at home. But the people that are working don't get anything. We don't get anything. Hell, I went a month without a paycheck, applied for unemployment, and I'm getting the biggest runaround. My boss has gotten 3 letters already inquiring as to why I had a leave of absence from work. He put, because he was in the hospital with COVID. And, well, we need more details on that, is the next letter they sent. I mean, it's just, I'm working. I got sick. I couldn't work. Sorry. But these people that sit on their ass at home collecting more money than they would make anywhere else, yeah, I wouldn't want to work either. But that is what the Democrats are trying to do. So you have all these people that are able to work that are not working, and you have all these businesses that are so short-handed, it's not even funny. So what happens? I mean, the price of everything is going up. You've got Grandpa Joe here who wants to just absolutely bankrupt this country. And by doing it, he's going to cause inflation. He's going to cause everything to go up. Hell, I read an article that they're expecting $6 a gallon gas here in Michigan. Unheard of. Unheard of. Because there's going to be a gas shortage. Why? Why is there going to be a gas shortage? Are you telling me that you can't get people to work at these refineries now? This is all fabricated. This is all manipulated. You know, everybody's so freaked out about the coronavirus, they're not even second-guessing why prices are going up. They're going up because everybody is letting it. Nobody questions this. Oh, man, look at the price of plywood. Son of a bitch. Question, why? Why is the price going up? You can't get a good answer. There's no shortage of plywood out there, trust me. There's no shortage of corn, wheat, soybeans, soda. anything. There's no shortage of it. So why is the price going up? Could it be that these companies can see in the future? They can see what our illustrious government is doing to this economy, and they say, oh, shit's going to hit the fan now. We got to raise prices now. Could that be it? Because that is what I think is the best answer. I don't know. It's just frustrating because nobody wants to question anything. If you question anything, you become a white supremacist, racist Nazi in this day and age in America. You can't question anything. You can't go on Facebook or YouTube and question anything because your post gets taken down and then you get thrown into Facebook jail. It's frustrating. We have no voice. There is one voice in this country, and that is the voice that the Democrats want to hear, and they want you to hear. Be strong. Like Sean said, I'm not the only one with a voice here. You guys have a voice, too. Let's use it. Let's question, why the hell is plywood up fourfold? Why is corn going up? Why is soda going up? There is no shortage on these shelves of soda. Why is that going up? Question it. Question everything. That's what I tell my kids. Question. If you don't agree with it, question it. And boy, do the teachers at their school do not like that at all. They don't like to be questioned because the teachers nowadays are given, this is what you're going to teach them. This is how you're going to teach it. So they're just reading. When you have somebody question, they have no idea what to say. Let's just move on. That's what they say. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to move on. So in this country, there is a war on the police, right? We get that. Chris Cuomo from CNN, who is a complete moron. You can't call him a journalist. He doesn't believe police reform will happen until white parents start losing their children to the police. But here is about, I'm going to kind of cut it up a little. I'm going to interject here. This is his segment on that. And it is so ridiculous. It is so one-sided. I have to go in and interject at times. So here is Chris Cuomo's segment on things are only going to change when white parents start losing their kids to the police. Listen to this. This is the most ridiculous thing you're ever going to hear.
By Dante Wright. I wonder if you'll remember their names 6 months from today, because they'll be replaced by so many others. You're here, people. What are you going to do when you see these shootings? You know what you're going to do. That George Floyd. Did you hear about him? That Dante Wright. Did you hear about him? That 13-year-old Adam. You know he was a gangbanger. Why do that?
Why do that? Because every single one of these people have one thing in common. They resisted the police. Every single one of them had a criminal record. But you're going to see the guy that was shot by the taser, quote unquote, she thought she had a taser. And that's horrible. Don't get me wrong. That is horrible. How you can confuse a taser with a handgun is beyond me. Something needs to go on with that. However, you don't see and you don't hear about the criminal prosecutions against this person. You don't hear about the fact that this person was a thug. You see the picture of him holding the child in his hands. He's so innocent. Remember Trayvon? Trayvon, the guy that George Martinez? I don't know. The guy in Florida that shot the kid who was coming at him. Oh, no. He was just an innocent little kid with a black hoodie. That's what the media wanted to portray to you. But no, he was a thug. And that's every single one of these people. They are resisting arrest. They are not complying. But no, Chris Cuomo has something to say about not complying.
Because you want to make the problem them.
It is them.
Takes the onus off the idea that you're wrong about.
The problem is them. Here, I've said it before. I know you know it. If you comply, nothing happens. The police are not going to shoot you if you are complying with them. You may listen, you got that 1% of bad cops that are just going to do it. It's going to happen. Sorry. But 99.9% of the time, if you comply, you're not going to get shot. Nothing bad will happen to you unless you are breaking the law and you have a record. You're going to go to jail then. That's how it works.
About policing not needing to change. Forget that police are trained to deal with noncompliance with force that is not lethal. Hey, comply or die. You know what I mean?
Stop.
And you know what the answer is? You really do. You don't like it. I don't like it. It scares me.
Come on. Here it is.
Shootings? Gun laws? Access to weapons? Oh, you? I know when they'll change. Your kids start getting killed? White people's kids start getting killed? Smoking that doobie that's actually legal probably in your state now, but they don't know what it was, and then the kid runs and it pop, 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 pop.
This guy...
Cop was justified. Why'd you run?
This guy is an idiot. This is how this guy is still on the air is beyond me. You know, right now in this country, race is huge. Race issues are huge. And for him to say that this is only going to go away when white kids get shot because they're smoking a doobie, which may be legal in your state, but they run and pop, pop, pop. What an asinine statement. And to sit there and say, well, cops are trained to deal with people that don't comply. If you have, listen, I would never, ever, ever want to be in a cop's shoes. Let's talk about this Michaela girl that was shot and killed, who had a knife and was on her way to stab the other girl. And this cop is being chastised for shooting her. What in the world is going on in this country? We have a person with a deadly weapon in the act of trying to kill another person. The police officer, in a split-second decision, decides to pull out his gun and shoot her. Well, you should have tased her. Listen, if you can make that decision in a split second, he already had his gun out because she had a violent weapon. She had a deadly weapon, so he already pulled his gun out. I heard a stat the other day. One of the guys that I work with, he's a concealed carry guy. He said, we are trained that 21 feet, that's if they are within 21 feet, you are not able to pull your gun out quick enough. So this woman has a deadly weapon, which is a huge knife, and this officer has a gun out. The woman continues to go after this other person in an attempt to stab her. First off, she's got a deadly weapon. Secondly, she is trying to kill somebody, and this officer shot her. Sorry, I see nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But yet this officer is just being chastised. He's being ridiculed. Oh, you should have shot her in the leg. Come on. Center mass. That's what these guys, you drop them. You don't, well, you know, I want to just say, hey, stop right now. Don't do that. Oh, you just stabbed her. What would have happened if this officer would have let her stab the other girl? Well, then everybody would be up in arms. He let her kill her. Listen. I'm all for you're breaking the law. You've got a knife. You are going after somebody. Yeah, you played your cards. You play stupid games. You win stupid prizes. Stupid prizes is a bullet in your chest. I don't feel sorry. I don't. I'm sorry. It's a shame that she had to die, but she's breaking the law. She was going after somebody with intent to kill her. Somebody had to die there. And it shouldn't have been the innocent girl that this other girl was going after. It should be the one that had the deadly weapon and is breaking the law. But this country is so ass backwards that we're now looking at it as she should have been able to stab her. I don't understand this whatsoever. When did we lose our moral compass? When did we lose common sense? I mean, listen, you want to defund the police, fine. Look at what happened in Minneapolis. It turned into a freaking hellhole there. to the point that the city council's like, oh my gosh, we got to get some police in here. This is crazy. This is not the answer. You know, and everybody wants to blame the cops in this. How about blaming the people that are breaking the law, that are not complying? Because every time you hear of a shooting, and have you ever noticed you don't hear of a cop shooting a white guy that wasn't complying? It's all designed to manipulate you. The only time you hear of a cop shooting is if it's a black person. And that is being twisted to not mention the fact that this person was on drugs, not don't want to mention that they had a warrant for their arrest, and don't want to mention that they were not complying and they were resisting arrest and going after a gun or trying to drive away. The media is so complicit in the destruction and downfall of this country that there's going to be a day when they're going to rue what they did. Really, they are. Because it's getting to the point, and I really believe this, it's getting to the point that the average person, you, me, your neighbor, that just wants to be left alone, just wants to be able to go where they can, where they want to, without any repercussions, without people looking down on them because they're not wearing a mask or they're not vaccinated. They want to be looked at as just good people, and that's what they are. But the media and the politicians have just put a wedge between everybody because of race and political views and anti-vaccine, for the vaccine, masking, anti-masking, that everybody looks at everybody else with such disdain. I truly believe that these people are just going to say enough's enough and rise up. I don't know when that's going to happen, but you can only do so much to people before they say, that's it. That's it. I just don't get it. I don't get it at all. What the hell happened to this country? All right, with that being said, we're going to take one more quick break. And when we come back, if you live in the Florida Keys, you're going to want to hear about this, as well as, hey, John Kerry, what have you been telling the Iranians? Sit back, relax, open your mind. You're listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I'll be right back.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
Alrighty, for all my Florida listeners, and I've got a lot of them, hey, I want to go over an article in westernjournal.com. The premise of the article is basically the residents of the Florida Keys are outraged as scientists prepare to release 500 million genetically modified mosquitoes into the wild. So I'll go over the article with you, and then I'll give you my two cents. Florida Key residents are outraged as scientists from British biotech company Oxitec are planning to release 500 million genetically modified male mosquitoes along a large part of the Keys in an attempt to kill off an invasive species of mosquito responsible for transmitting deadly diseases like Zika. Oxitec plans to place boxes full of genetically altered eggs throughout the trial areas. After water is added, the bugs will fly and mate with the females of the invasive species in the area. That is according to the Miami Herald. The experiment has divided people who live on the island chain. About 24 people gathered in Key Largo to protest the planned experiment that is going to happen this spring. They went on to say, Megan Hull, who was a protester, went on to say, they have failed in the Caymans. We have proof of that. They have failed in Brazil. We have proof of that. They have failed in India, in Malaysia, in Panama. We have proof of that. Now, supporters of the scientific experiment say it's a way to get rid of the disease-spreading mosquitoes. However, other residents are not happy, and they say that their community is part of a petri dish. According to Hull, she says, I find this criminal that we are being bullied into this experiment. She says, I find it criminal that we are being subjected to this terrorism by our own Florida Keys Mosquito Control Board. She went on to say, we have everything to risk, nothing to gain, and it's all for Oxitec's bottom line. Now, Oxitec has developed a death mechanism to ensure no viable female offspring will be born after the invasive population mates with the introduced mosquitoes. Now, the United States Environmental Protection Agency said that if a female mosquito ends up surviving and reproducing, the experiment will be terminated. I don't know how you freaking figure that out. Although the company says this outcome is unlikely, some female mosquitoes survived during the experiment in Brazil. Nathan Rose, Oxitec's head of regulatory affairs, waved off concerns about the experiment. He went on to say, Oxitec is not testing on humans, and this project is not introducing risk to humans, animals, or the environment, as stated by the EPA. So, what do you think? Genetically modified mosquitoes. That sounds a little scary. Okay, so let's just say that this works, that they mate with the females and the females can't reproduce, and it kills off the Zika disease-carrying mosquitoes. You still have 500 million male mosquitoes that are genetically altered. What happens to them? What are they going to do? What happens if they bite you? Is it a different bite? I just don't understand why people think that putting genetically altered or genetically modified anything into the population is a good idea. It's not normal. I'm a big fan of nature, and I'm a big fan of keeping nature nature. Don't mess with it. And that's what you're doing. You're messing with it. Let me know what you think. All my Florida residents, especially you in the Keys, let me know what you think. GhostSeeker4@charter.net. GhostSeeker4@charter.net or 989-607-4722. 989-607-4722. Let me know what you think. Let's switch gears again. I told you I'm going all over the board this week. Hey, John Kerry. How is your relationship with the Iranian foreign minister? Because he just called you out. Now, while John Kerry was Secretary of State during the Obama administration, the foreign minister, Iranian foreign minister Mohammad Javad Zarif, reportedly claimed that, to his astonishment, Kerry told him about Israeli operations in Syria. Now, some news outlets have described the Israeli operations as covert. Zarif suggested that he had to learn of the news about his own country from Kerry, noting that he often kept in dark regarding national security measures, sometimes to his embarrassment. Now, the State Department, surprisingly, has said, oh, no, John Kerry didn't do that. But let's look at the fact. John Kerry is a jackass. That's the first fact. I don't trust him with any secret. And then let's look at the cozy relationship Obama and Kerry had with Iran and the rocky relationship they had with Israel. I mean, let's be honest. They were in love. They were in bed with Iran. So it would not surprise me whatsoever to have John Kerry giving away Israeli secrets to their arch enemy, Iran. Now, again, let's jump back to Burisma, to the Ukraine. Trump, during his first impeachment trial, was accused of essentially a quid pro quo. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Nothing that came out in that trial has the clout of a foreign minister telling the world, yeah, he told me covert secrets. He told me secrets about Israel. Now, let's jump to this week. Rudy Giuliani, his home was raided by the feds, and they were gathering information from Burisma. Now, here's the thing. First off, are we still doing this? Are we still doing the Ukraine thing? Because I thought it was done. Apparently not. But according to Rudy Giuliani, and this is according to Rudy Giuliani only, he said, hey, don't you want these? And the agent's like, what's that? Well, this is all the information on Hunter Biden's laptop. Nope, we don't want that. It's all hearsay. However, Burisma. What do you think of when you think Burisma? You think of Ukraine, you think of Joe and Hunter Biden. Why would the feds be raiding and gathering and taking all the information on that? Because they know he's got information. This is Gestapo. This is Nazi Germany right now. I'm going to tell you. It's scary. I just got a chill saying that because I'm thinking to myself, okay, what am I going to get raided? When Sean Hannity, when's Mark Levin going to get raided? When are they going to get shut down? That's what this is. They are silencing anybody that may have anything against them. Again, liberals, how do you not see this? How are you okay with this? It's not okay. Because they may be coming to the people. They may be going against the people that you don't agree with right now. They're eventually going to come after you. That's how it works. Last segment I have on the show this week. I live in Michigan. You know, for better or for worse, I live in Michigan. And we have a governor that, during her campaign, was talking about how this would be the most transparent government ever in the state of Michigan. It has turned into the most corrupt, the most vindictive government we've ever seen in this state. As she's telling her constituents in the state of Michigan, do not travel, do not go. You stay here in Michigan. And again, Michigan is experiencing a huge rise in coronavirus cases, although Indiana, Ohio, who are wide open, they're fine. What does that tell you about the lockdowns and the mask mandates, everybody? You look at the states that are really struggling, every single one of them is a state that had major lockdowns, continue to have lockdowns, and continue to have mask mandates. Florida, Texas, they don't have that problem. They have coronavirus, yes, but nowhere near. Why? Because people are their immune systems are fighting it. It's as simple as that. So she's telling her constituents, do not go. Don't go anywhere. Meanwhile, the head of the Michigan Health Department goes to spring break in Alabama. Another one of her aides or whatever goes to Florida. Well, that's their decision. Well, we didn't get that. We weren't given that decision. We were told we can't. And then it comes out that she went down to Florida and denied it. She denied it up and down. No, that's not true. I didn't go down there. Well, then the facts came out. Oh, yeah, she went down there. And now it was, well, I didn't say anything because I would just be chastised. Well, yeah, you're going to be chastised. Because you told every one of your residents in Michigan don't go anywhere while you meander down to Florida. Well, I was checking on my critically ill dad. Well, critically, no. Chronically, yes. He's got a chronic disease. I understand that. And I get that. But don't lie about it. Fess up to it. Yep, I went to Florida. I wanted to check on my dad. I hadn't seen him in a while. I went down there. Take your medicine. Don't deny it. And then when you get caught, say, well, I just get chastised for it anyway, so I just kept it quiet. That's a third grader. That's a young child's response. You are supposed to be the leader of this state. But yet, you're not. You are do as I say, not as I do. This is what we deal with in Michigan. We're now given vaccine requirements Well, you got to get 55%, and I'll give you a little bit. At 60%, when 60% of the residents are vaccinated, I'll give you a little more. Why are you pushing it? There's a hidden agenda here. Let me know what you think it is. Contact me, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net or 989-607-4722. Leave a message with what you think the hidden agenda of the government is to get everybody vaccinated, because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Let me know what you think. So before I go, I was mentioning before Sean Ryan in Wisconsin he's raising his voice, and good for him. I want you to go to his page on Facebook, No Masks Wisconsin Rapids. You can join it, but what I want you to do is leave him a message, comment on his thing, and just tell him, thank you. Good job. Keep it up. I want you to do that, because Sean Ryan is one of us who has a voice and who's using it. And he's using it for good. So again, No Masks Wisconsin Rapids. Go to that Facebook page, join the page, or just leave him a message. Let him know, hey, I heard on the Paranormal Patriot you had this page. Good job. Good luck. I hope it works out for you. Let him know that his voice is being heard. And there are so many of you out there that have a voice. You can use it. Doesn't matter how. Look at Sean. He's making a difference. Use your voice. Let me know how you want to use your voice. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net or 989-607-4722. Leave me a message. So that'll be the show for today. I almost made it an hour, so we'll consider that a plus. Thank you for joining me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, contact me, ghostseeker4@charter.net or 989-607-4722. Remember, sit back, relax, and open that mind. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I'll be back next week.